10-minute speaker is Kimbria Jay from Oceanside. I wore my biggest heels so I can see all of you tonight. Hi, I'm Cambria, and I'm alcoholic. A lot of sassy, sober people here tonight. I'm not going to lie, I am so nervous, but I reached out, and my dad told me there's no need to be nervous when doing service. I called my sponsor, and she said, you know, Cambria, you're doing the deal. You work a strong program. Just use your tools and get up there. And frankly, you can't humiliate yourself more than you already did when you were drinking. Because quite frankly, you are an ultimate shit show. So go have fun. Thanks. She's a good sponsor. But the best advice I got was from my old timers, and they said just to pray and ask that I carry the message that God wants me to carry tonight for you. So with that, my sobriety date is June 7th, 2014. My whole group is Old Town Speakers, and my sponsor is Jen C. Before I go into my story, I'd like to share a couple alarming facts about alcoholism. The National Council on Alcoholism and Drug Dependence reported that 17.6 million people suffer from alcohol abuse. That's 1 in 12, pretty alarming. They also said that there's nearly 88,000 deaths caused from overuse of alcohol and drug dependency, which makes it the third leading preventable cause of death in the United States. Those are some pretty scary statistics, right? The good news is that if you look around, even in these rooms, we're not alone. And two, that there is a solution, and it's found in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. It is outlined there for us to use. Before I tell my story, my little cliff notes, because I only have 10 minutes, I just want to say that I'm an alcoholic because when I put alcohol in my body, I have an obsession of the mind and a phenomenon of craving. Once I put that first drink in, I have no control. So I debated on what to talk about tonight, and my history of drinking is pretty long, 20 years of drinking. And I thought I'd just focus on the end part, the obsession, the phenomenon of craving. My drinking story is much like you guys. I always felt not good enough. I always felt just not worthy. I always had this hole. Something was missing. I learned very early on to be a people pleaser because I wanted to be liked. And I was always just searching. So drinking. And towards the end, I'm going to tell you my story. I came from a three-day bender in Las Vegas, you know, that city where we can drink anytime we want outside on the streets. And I woke up and I came to, and I was violently ill. I felt like I was going to have a stroke, a heart attack. My head had so much pressure. My blood pressure was through the roof. My heart raced. I sweat. I was shaking. I was vomiting. I was nauseous. I go to the ER, and I think they're going to tell me I have food poisoning. And the doctor sits me down and he says, you are suffering from severe alcohol withdrawal. I'm going to give you 5 days of Xanax. I need you to detox off that. Don't drink on it and go get some help. So I was scared for a little bit there, because at this point I'm an everyday drinker. And it scared me. And at that 5 days I stayed sober on Xanax. And, milestone there. But then I was getting on a plane to go see my dad. My dad lives in Bend, Oregon, and I go see him once a year for 2 weeks up in the summertime. And I thought, this is perfect. This is a perfect time for me to finally stop drinking for good, because I had told myself time and time again I was going to do it. Because, you know, he knew about my wreckage. I had 2 DUIs. I'd lost my nursing career. I was, you know, I'd lost multiple jobs. My self-esteem was down in the tank. So I was like, this is perfect, because I can't really drink around him. So I'm on this plane flight, and the flight attendant gets up and says, and we'll be arriving in about an hour. It's going to be a clear flight, sunny skies. And this flight provides a free beer or glass of wine of your choice. My brain went, I mean, how can I say no to a free glass of wine or beer? Seriously, it's like I'm on vacation. Here's my brain, my alcoholism, telling me that it's okay. You know, it's just one drink. I'm going to have one drink. It's my vacation. I'll get there. That one drink opened up Pandora's box, and for the next 2 weeks, all I could think about was getting my next drink. It was absolutely miserable. So I'm hiding drinks, waiting till my dad goes to bed, and I'm guzzling it down. I'm taking multiple showers because I'm drinking in the bathroom. I tell him that I'm an avid jogger. I don't jog. And I'm jogging my butt as fast as I can to the nearest liquor store and pub, and I'm downing shots and beers. And then I'm spraying perfume, and I'm chomping gum, and I'm avoiding him. But I'm still not drinking how I want to drink. I'm miserable. So I go to any lengths to drink, right? I get all dolled up. I go to the coffee bar and gas station, and I wait for the first guy to talk to me. And he says, "Oh, I like your dress." And I was like, "Oh, darling, thank you so much. I'm visiting my mom from out of state, and I would love a tour guide. I heard you have a great brewery scene, and I would love for you to show me around." So now I'm hopping in a car with a stranger I don't know, telling my father, "Oh, yeah, it's so-and-so's cousin." And I am going out, and I am drinking every night in the bars. And I tell my dad I'm going to be home by midnight, 12:30, and I'm not coming home at that time. My last night there, I stayed out. I was going for a big hurrah. And I missed like 5 calls and voicemails. At 4 in the morning, I finally listened to the voicemail, and it said, "Cambria, where are you? I am riddled with worry. Please call me back. Call me back in 10 minutes, or I'm calling the cops." Because I told them I was going to be home at midnight. And my selfish, self-centered, alcoholic brain thought, how dare he? How dare he tell me what I can do on my vacation? I'm a grown woman. I can do whatever I want. And I'm hungover this entire trip, and I'm not enjoying the hike. And it's just, I see my dad once a year, and I go home. For the next year and a half, I battle alcohol withdrawal. I never know when it's going to come, and it's miserable. But I still can't stop drinking. I go to Sprouts and buy herbs to calm my nerves. I'm buying Klonopins and Xanaxes from friends when the alcohol withdrawal would hit. I'm trying the tapering method, which, you know, I'd start to sip the beer. I'm like, this is not happening. And it was miserable. I was lonely. I was broken. And finally in June, on a week that I had multiple blackouts, fights, loneliness, just despair, I woke up the next day after drinking, and I sat on a curb. I had my heels in my hand and my bag of 7-Eleven munchies and cigarettes and booze. And I looked down and I thought, what the hell am I doing? What have I done with my life? And I went home and I crawled in bed and I cried. I did that sobbing, guttural cry, and I cried out to God and I said, "God, if you're there, please save me or kill me, because I can't live like this anymore." And that's how I know I have a higher power, because I had tried everything to stop drinking. By the grace of God, I went into detox. I detoxed for a week. Then I went into the McDonald's Center, did 2 weeks inpatient, did 2 weeks PHP, and 6 weeks of IOP. From there, I took suggestions. I did 90 and 90. I got a sponsor. I worked the 12 steps. The 12 steps changed my life. You know, for the longest time, I blamed my mother. You know, she was messed up. She gave me a bad childhood. I hated her for 20 years. And when I sat down to do my 4th step, and I was like, "Oh, yeah, Mom, you did this and that." And then she's like, "Now write your part." And I was blown away that the most person that I had the most resentment, I had done the most harm to, was my mother. And if I expected to be forgiven for my spiritual sickness and my disease, then I needed to forgive her, because all she knew is what she had to deal with growing up too. And I wanted the same respect. Today, I can tell you, my life is so full. I am so, so happy. The promises have all come true for me. I'm working on getting my nursing career back. I'm super active in the program. I'm over a year and a half. I go to 6 meetings a week. I have H&I commitments. I have other commitments. I have a sponsee. And, you know, I've met a family here. I always was jealous. I always thought I was going to find a boyfriend or a husband that had the good family so I could latch on to them. But, you know, now I don't have to, because you guys are my family. There's something about an alcoholic connecting with each other that is magical. I have never laughed so hard. I have never cried so hard. You know, I had drinking crony friends before, but now I have real friends, a lot of them here to support me tonight, and I'm so grateful. Another thing is I was never close with my brother because I isolated and I stayed away from him. And by the attraction of this program and watching me and my works and getting sober and the change in me, he came to me crying and said, "I'm an alcoholic. Take me to the meeting. I need help." And now he's over 9 months sober, and we're doing the deal together. It's such a blessing. Thank you so much for allowing me to be here tonight. And I just want to tell you, I got an alcoholic fever, and the only prescription is more AA. Thank you.